Again, Jesus spoke to them, saying, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. This is the word of the Lord. Friends, you can have a seat.
All right. Good morning. How are we doing this morning? Good. Everyone get out of their driveways okay this morning? Yeah, good. Like Benjamin said, my name is Josh Gardner. I'm the minister of students here at Flourishing Grace. Super excited to be with you this morning for continuing our series, I Am. About a year and a half ago, we did this similar series for our students it was Thursday nights then for midweek. I think for this time and this season that we're in, it's such an important thing for us to just look carefully and just intently at Jesus during this time. Today, we've gone through that he is the vine, we've gone through the bread of life, and now we are to this point in which Jesus is saying he is the light of the world, the light of the world. And he brings life to us through that light. And this morning, here's my hope for us as we look at what it means that Jesus is the light of the world, that as we see this passage, we see Jesus' claim of being the light of the world, that it'll show us that we do live in darkness. We actually live in darkness. Not only that, but that he is the only one, Jesus, is the only one that can expose the darkness in us and around us. And that he is the light, the one true light, the light that the world was made for, and in him we must cling to. We must cling to Jesus. Not his promises, not his blessings, but him and him alone to have true life. That's my hope for us this morning. I think for some of us, when we come in to this room or even when we reach out to God, we reach out to Jesus, sometimes what we end up doing is we look to Jesus for a solution to our problem or a key or the next step. We want Jesus to hand us the next thing. God, what do I do next? And those things aren't necessarily bad. It's not actually bad for us to ask, man, God, what do I do next? There's an issue in my life, and I just don't know what to do. What should I do? These things aren't bad, but I think what Jesus is telling us that he offers us in this passage specifically is the thing that we actually need, but the thing that a lot of times we don't want from him, and that's his presence. That's himself. Jesus doesn't hand us a flashlight to go through our lives. He is our light. His presence is our light that lights everything around us. And so my hope for us this morning is that we would see that. We've already spent a lot of time, honestly, as we go through this series, it'll be through the whole series, that really Jesus' presence is what anything else. And it's really hard for us. It's really hard for us to believe that sometimes. So I'm hoping that we will. To give some context to what Jesus is talking about here, we have to look at when he's speaking and who he's speaking to. And in this time, he's doing ministry and he's speaking and he's preaching. It's during this season of time called the Feast of Tabernacles. It's this time where Israel comes out of their homes and they build tents, these small tents around the temple all over the city. And it's all these celebrations and these rituals and these festivals to remember their past. If you remember, God brings Israel out of slavery, out of the land of Egypt, right? And he brings them into the wilderness and he leads them by a pillar of cloud and a pillar of fire. You remember that? He leads them in this. He leads them for 40 years. It does not take that long, right? They wander around the wilderness though for 40 years being led by God, and his presence is with them. He feeds them, he cares for them, he provides for them, even when they've rejected what he's given them. And so this time is this Feast of Booths is this time for them to remember that God is their provider, and that their ancestors did the wrong thing, and yet God was still faithful to them. And one of the kind of rituals, or one of the parts of the festival that happens during the Feast of Booths, is in the courtyard they would put these four giant candelabra up, and they would light these candelabra at night. And the night, it'd be pitch black, and they'd light these candelabra, and they would light the sky and light the courtyards. And it says that the blaze was so big that it would light the courtyards across the city. Massive, massive blaze just across the entire city. Not only that, but then it says that the wise men of Israel would go in front of the candelabra, and all night they would dance. They would sing songs of joy. They would sing hymns of praise towards God, reminding themselves that he is his presence. He is their provider. Kind of beckoning back again to this whole, you know, pillar of fire, right? This, the glory of God is what they need. And so in this, I have to imagine, I'm putting a little bit on Jesus here, but I have to imagine that Jesus is probably doing this on purpose, where he's looking at this blaze that has gone off, where the candelabra is the temple illuminations are piercing through the darkness, and they are lighting up all the courtyards in Jerusalem. And he's looking at that, and he says, he's saying, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows after me will not walk in darkness, but have the light of life. So I have to think that he's pointing them towards, remember the giant blaze in that, how it lights up everything. Even that. Like, I am the light that lights the entire world. I am a light that will never go out. The candelabra, they would go out over time, right? They would go out, and in the day, they would go out. And Jesus is saying, I am the light that will never go out. And if you follow after me, and you will walk in darkness no more. I will light everything around you. And so, look at that, I am greater than that. Jesus, that the world is actually in darkness. The world is in darkness and is in need of light. It's as if we didn't have this big, giant, flaming ball of gas, we wouldn't know what the sun was. We wouldn't have a concept of that. But B, we also wouldn't be able to see our world around us in the same way. There's a lot of other wouldn't be here if the sun wasn't there either, okay? But in this, Jesus is saying, look, the world around you is in darkness. And I am the light that actually lights what is true around you. And I think for us, we don't really darkness, that we actually walk in a world that is in darkness. Like, we see it sometimes, but not all the time. So here's what I want to do. I want to pull a student pastor move on you guys. I hope that's okay. And I'm going to ask our team in the back to just turn all the lights down for off. Sorry, turn all the lights off. I'm going to have a sit here for a minute. Is that okay? If I asked you right now, sorry, I'm going to point out the elephant in the room. There's still light in here, okay? I was going to come up and, like, tape every window and do all the things, and I just, you know, you get my point. But if I asked you right now to get up and try to find the exits, you'd be able to find them because legally we have to have them lit. You'd probably step on someone. You'd probably step on someone. I hope you wouldn't hurt them, but you probably would. It'd be hard to find your stuff. You'd have to figure it out. You have to get your stuff. Most of you would probably actually get your phones out and, like, turn the light on so you could see something, right? That's what you'd do. And then also, if I asked you right now, okay, I want you to go find someone with brown shoes. Or I want you to go find someone with a red scarf. Or find someone with a blue jacket. It would be nearly impossible. In this, again, I know there's some light in here, but it'd be hard. It'd be difficult. And this is what Jesus is saying about our world, is that I know you think you can see around you, But the reality is you are living in darkness. And so the things that you think that are good for you, the things that you run towards, the things that you are playing with, the things that you are trying to find satisfaction in, the things that you are holding and cherishing and loving, when I expose them to the light, they are not what you think they are. That we live in this darkness. And I think sometimes we don't understand this, that we actually live in this darkness. But when Jesus comes into the scene and he says, I am the light of the world, that he lights everything for us. Where now we can actually see around us. We can see what's in front of us. We can see the things around us. We can see ourselves for who we truly are. You can turn the lights back on. And this is my hope for us. Ooh, sweet. This is my hope for us this morning, is that we'd actually be able to recognize right now, we'd be able to recognize that we do live in a world that is shrouded in darkness, and we need Jesus to expose things. Now, obviously, we're not like, you know, we're not talking about real darkness, but what we're talking about is the things in our world kind of hide in the darkness as something that they're not. And so I want to talk about that. This morning, I want to point out just four things that the light, that Jesus, his presence, actually does for us, in us, and through us. And so first, I want to point out this, that the light, Jesus, exposes the truth. The light exposes the truth. Jesus goes around in his ministry and constantly is exposing things for what they truly are. He does not sugarcoat the truth. He speaks plainly. He calls people to repent and trust in God. He shines a light into the darkness to reveal what is truly there. So he goes to the religious. He goes to the religious and the pious, and he says that you are trying to earn favor with God, and by trying to earn favor with God, or trying to do these things on your own, trying to work yourself towards God, you will never get there. It is not possible. Our God is holy and perfect, and you cannot get there. But because you have tried and you think yourself highly enough to be able to, you have actually earned your reward today, which is judgment. You've earned it. That's what you've earned in that. You won't get close to him. Not only that, but Jesus goes to the sinners of the world, and he says, you are the ones that are trying to find satisfaction in sex, money, power, false gods, trying to find something in the darkness, clinging to the things around you. But then Jesus reveals that those things, the things that we try to make God, or the things that we try to find our ultimate satisfaction, our hope, our joy, everything we have in life, will actually end up just leading us into more darkness and leading us to death. Jesus constantly goes around and is kind of opening and revealing to people, hey, what you're clinging to, what you're hoping in, is actually not what you think it is. And the thing is, the light of Jesus is offensive to those in the dark. It's like, have you ever been, so I am not a morning person, okay? Just point that out. Not a morning person. When I was a kid, my mom tried a myriad of ways to wake me up in the morning. The first one was like lights full blast in the morning. That didn't work for me, but it was offensive. Like when I'm laying there and the lights turn on and I see it, I would cover myself up back in the darkness, right? It was offensive that the light was on and I did not want to experience that light. And so what would I do? I would find more darkness. And this is kind of what ends up happening, that we love the darkness, where we go back into the darkness because the light is offensive to us. We began to love the darkness. We began to trust in the darkness. We began to hope and think that the things that the darkness is telling us are true. Not only that, but then Jesus also exposes the dark, really exposes the truth of who we are. People don't like to hear this. No one would like to hear this, but Jesus calls us not children of God, but children of wrath. Like that by nature, we're children of wrath. That by nature, we are enemies of God. Like Jesus says, you aren't close with God. You can't be close with God. You're chasing after your own way. You are an enemy and a child of wrath. And yet, Jesus also exposes in the darkness that God is not a God who's sitting there waiting for us to get our stuff together so that we can get close to him. But he is running towards us, and he does everything to bring us into the light. Romans 5:8 says, "But God shows his love for us that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us." So Jesus' light is exposing the reality that we are not good enough to get to God and cannot be. We never will be. And also at the same time that our God is not sitting there waiting for us to try to do that. But he is coming down to us, loving us with a love that is incomprehensible of how much he would love people who spit at him and are angry towards him, and yet he comes close to us to bring us to himself. And here's what ends up happening. We either, for some of us, end up being like those with Stockholm Syndrome, who cling to their captor. Even though Jesus has exposed it, we cling to our captor and say, "No, I need this," even though we know that they're hurting us. And for some, if we trust in Jesus as the only one and true light of the world, if we trust that what he is exposing is true, and we trust in him, and we step into a relationship with him, we are made new. And that brings me to my second point, which is this, that the light saves us. The light saves us. I'm sorry, the light saves sinners. The light saves sinners. That in this, we're exposed that we are sinners in need of grace. And so now this light, Jesus, the light of the world, the world was made for Jesus's light. And he comes in and saves us and claims us as his own. What I love is John, the Gospel of John. I love the Gospel of John because the way he talks about Jesus is so beautiful and clear and poetic. He compares Jesus as this light 22 times in his Gospel, over and over and over again. Right, and he shows at the beginning of his gospel that our world was made for Jesus, that Jesus was in the beginning with God, fully God, made in the image of, or that we were made in his image, and that then later comes to his own people, and we reject him. We choose the darkness over his light, and yet he comes and dies on a cross, raises from the dead so that we can be brought out of darkness and into his light, right? And and this is the only way. We must believe that the light has come to save us. Later in John 8, John records this. Jesus says, John 8:24 says, "I told you," Jesus is talking here, "I told you that you would die in your sins unless you believe that I am he who will die in your sins." Jesus is so clear that the only way for us to not die in our own sins is to trust in him, that he is the only way. John 14:6, Jesus says, "I am the way, the truth, and life. No one comes to the Father except through me." Jesus' light reveals our sin and reveals his glory and his goodness and his delight to take our penalty on himself so that we could be saved, we could be set free. And so now, for those of us that trust in Jesus, our account has been paid. We are no longer children of wrath. We are no longer enemies of God, but we are heirs of God. We are children of God. The Bible even goes as far to call us saints, people who are holy, not because of us, but because of him. And so now what it means for us is for the rest of our life, if we believe in Jesus, he is our light, and for the rest of our life, his presence walks with us as our light, illuminating what's around us, illuminating the darkness that is within us, that he is moving and transforming out of us. And that's what leads to my next point, is this, that the light transforms saints. The light transforms saints. Here's the reality. The light saves sinners and makes us saints. And so now, if you're in Christ, you are no longer identified. You are no longer called a sinner. Do you still sin? Do I still sin? Yeah, we do. But because the light, because Jesus has saved us and brought us in, the Bible says that, therefore, if anyone's in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come. We have been called a new creation, not because of what we have done, but because of what Jesus has done for us and in us. That now it says that when God looks at us, that he sees the blood of Jesus, and we are washed clean. So now we're called saints. We're called holy, not because of what we've done, but because of what Jesus has done. So now we're brought into this light, we're close to this light, and now he transforms us, right? He actually makes changes in us. Because the reality is, again, we live in this world in which we have been saved, we've been brought into the kingdom of God, but we still sin. We live in a world of darkness around us. And so what God wants to do is actually transform the dark spots in our lives, reveal his light to us, or in us and to us, that we would be transformed into more like the image of Jesus every day. Romans 12 says this, "I appeal to you, therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind. By testing, you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect." What Paul is saying here in Romans is that we now, are to not be, we are the default of our lives, even as followers of Jesus, will be to be conformed to the world that's around us. The darkness has a pull on us. The darkness is all around us. And so now we have to say, God, I want to walk in your light. I want you to do a work in me. Would you transform me more into your image? Would you push back the darkness in my life? And now what Jesus wants to do is he continues to expose the sin in our lives, the sin that we've already been saved from. But now by the power of his light and life, he transforms our hearts and our minds, and he eradicates the dark spots in our lives as we reveal them to him. And so now, for those of you who are followers of Jesus, the rest of our lives should be us putting ourselves in front of the light of Jesus, constantly going to him, reading his word and saying, Jesus, what do you have? What do you have for my life? Not just specifically, but what I mean by that is that, Jesus, what have you designed me for? What have you designed me for? What have you designed me to be? What do you say in your kingdom is good and right for us? And then taking the areas of our lives where we see this spot on us that's, this is not conformed to what Jesus has said, and we say, Jesus, I need you to do a work in this because I want this darkness on me and I need you to eradicate it from me. And here's what that looks like practically for us. Because what we a lot of times do is we cover up in front of Jesus, and we know that we've been saved by him, but we don't want him to take parts of our lives. We want to live in our dark, in the darkness. And we probably wouldn't say that out loud because that's, we know what that sounds like. But a lot of times we want to live in darkness. And so what that looks like is like when we leave sexual sin in the darkness, let's take that for an example, then what it turns into is it just in our minds, in the darkness, it becomes just a bad habit that occasionally we get on our phone, we scroll through Instagram, we linger on women. Maybe we even start to believe, oh man, like I'm stressed and this is okay. I'm not hurting anyone. This is not a bad thing that I'm looking at these things. It's fine. It's not hurting anybody. That's what it looks like in the darkness. But when we expose that to the light, we reveal what Jesus says about these things, that not only does Jesus call looking at someone who's not your spouse with lust as adultery, but also that it's sinning against God, sinning against your own body, it's the temple, and sinning against that person. That person was made in the image of God, and God Jesus cherishes and cares for them. And in that moment, what we are doing is we're taking someone and we are stripping their dignity away to be gratified, to gratify ourselves. And so as we expose these things to light, we begin to see what's real, what's true. Because it's so easy for us to believe that the darkness instead of believing Jesus. Not only that, but things like we begin to see our jobs and our lives differently. We begin to, instead of wrapping our value in, or maybe we recognize that we are wrapping our value in our kids' achievements, their grades, their school, their grades, their decisions, their skills, and we put those things in front of Jesus and we say, I think I'm making an idol of my child, of where they're at, of if they're where I should, where I want them to be. And we can sit and we realize that, man, these children are a blessing given to me by God for me to help them to see the light of Jesus, to see what he's done, to disciple them in the way of Jesus. Right? Or if we put our how we think about money in front of our God, and maybe we reveal in our hearts that we are trying to find some semblance of security in our money. If I had enough money, then that way, if anything ever bad happens to me, that's okay. And we begin to see that that's an idol in the light of Jesus. We're starting to see it as an idol of, man, I'm trusting in what I have over Jesus. And then we're able to turn, because of his light, to radical generosity to those around us. To not harbor everything for ourselves, but to give it over to him and say, Jesus, I trust you. The list goes on and on and on of things in which we take in our lives and we expose to Jesus, expose to the truth. And there's a couple ways in which this works out in our lives. I want to be kind of practical because I feel like right now it's a little bit up here. But one of those ways is through repentance of these things, of seeing, like actually reading God's word, seeing what he says, and then areas of our lives in which we are seeing the opposite or seeing idols grow or see sin festering in our lives, seeing darkness in our lives, that we would repent of that. But not only just with God in our closet, like just with him, but also with the people of God around us. That we all, if you're in Christ, the light of Christ is with you to shine on others around you. So walking with one another, being able to expose the bitterness in our hearts that shouldn't be there, being able to expose the greed or the jealousy, being able to expose the idols in our lives that we have allowed to fester in the darkness to others. Others would walk alongside us, walk along with us in that. This is what it means to expose these things to the light, to Jesus. Last, I want to point this out, that this doesn't only, the light does not stay, or Jesus doesn't save us so that we can kind of get together with other Christians and kind of sit in what I like to call holy huddles, like things where we're just kind of together and we feel good and like come to church and like it's great. We all love Jesus. This is awesome. It's a good thing. But he calls us to go out from this. He said, or his light is spread through us. That's the last thing I want to point out, that his light is spread through us. That Jesus comes alongside us, he walks with us throughout our entire lives, and then he actually, later in Matthew records Jesus saying this, "You are the lights of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hidden, nor do people light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a stand. It gives light to all in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father who is in heaven." So not only is Jesus just, the way of the Christian life is not that we would just be transformed to be more like Jesus and it's just kind of for ourselves, but now that we would go out into the world and show other people what Jesus has done in us, right? Something I always love talking about with our students and in general is Matthew 28, the Great Commission, the thing that Matthew records at the end that Jesus says to his disciples before he ascends into heaven. He says, Jesus came to them and said, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. So go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, of the Son, of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And behold, I will be with you always to the end of the age. Jesus does not call us to get into holy huddles. He calls us to go out into the world and expose the darkness around us, not by our light, but by Jesus. That we would go out into the world, we would share what Jesus has done in us, that we would show people a better way, that we would help people to see that the things that they're clinging to in the darkness will only lead them to death. Just having honest conversations with people. Because you have coworkers, you have friends, you have neighbors that are clinging to things in this world that they think, if I only had this, then I'll be secure or I'll be satisfied or I'll be safe. And you can look at that thing and go, I know that even if you had that, it would not be enough. And are able to go and for Jesus to shine light in that. This is what Jesus does in us. It's funny to think about how Jesus actually tells his disciples that when he leaves, that whoever believes in him will do greater works than what Jesus did. I think about that passage all the time. It's John 14, 12 through 14, but how Jesus says, when I'm gone and whoever believes in me, you'll actually do greater things than I did. That sounds insane because Jesus did amazing things. But I think sometimes we kind of sit and I don't know, maybe we're too introspective or I don't know, but man, if we just start to think about the fact that Jesus wants to use us as a light, he is our light that pushes back the darkness around us, and he wants to do a great and mighty work in our lives, what would that look like? So here's what I kind of want to do as we end. I have a couple questions that might help you kind of see where you're at on this. And especially as we're in this time of Lent, where we're preparing ourselves for Jesus' death and resurrection, right? Remembering that we're looking at ourselves and what the sin that put him on the cross in our lives, but looking towards Jesus' death and resurrection. I think there's a couple things that'll help us. First, have you trusted in Jesus as the light of the world? Have you trusted in Jesus as the light of the world? Like, when do you see the world as dark around you in need of Jesus? If you don't, that's where you have to start. My plea to you is to look at Jesus and see that he is exposing the truth. He's not some radical guy just saying radical things. He is the God of all things who came down and lived a life that you and I cannot live and died the death that we deserved and brings us into his light. If you are a saint, if you've already believed in Jesus, my question for you is, do you expose yourself to the light of Jesus and ask him to transform you daily? Or are you being conformed by the world? I'm not trying to make you feel bad. I'm just trying to say we all have these things. I have these things. Where there are things in my life that I'm allowing darkness to conform me. And I must give those things, expose them to the light of Jesus, and ask him to transform me by his Spirit. And then third, have you taken a posture of inward focus as the ends of your life with Jesus? Or does your relationship with Jesus, have you taken an inward posture Have you taken a posture of inward focus in your life with Jesus? Or does your relationship with Jesus kind of stop with you or maybe some other Christians? And that's kind of it. Because it extends so much farther than that. It extends so much farther. Jesus wants to use you for something greater than yourself. What I want to do is I just want to read one final thing to you guys. This is a song. It's actually really funny. This song has been stuck in my head for the last several weeks. And while I was preparing the sermon, literally on Thursday or Friday, the song was playing in my head. And I was like, oh my gosh, I just want to share this song because I think this song is like, if we just had this song written on our hearts as we walked, I think our lives would look a lot different. And it's a song written by Helen Lamell in 1922. She writes a song, it's called Turn Your Eyes Upon Jesus. And I'm just going to read one verse and the refrain, but the verse says this, O soul, are you weary and troubled? No light in the darkness you see? There's light for a look at the Savior and life more abundant and free. And then the refrain says this, it says, Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full in his wonderful face, and the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace. This is my heart for us. Would the things of the world grow strangely dim because of the magnificent light of Jesus? It's like taking a flashlight outside in the bright sky. It does nothing. If we would see Jesus as that bright, that glorious, would we just turn our eyes to him every day, that he would dim the rest of the world out to recognize that he is all we need? I pray for us to that end.